All right, last week I tried an experiment that flopped very badly. I tried to read from the book of Romans in my Greek New Testament with you following along and you know, to try to show the difference between the translations, and it flopped. It was bad. What I think I'll do tonight, I'm just going to pick up the context so that we can be ready to move into the fourth chapter of Genesis. But I just want to go over, you know, we've looked at the fall. We've seen how that the devil in the person of the serpent beguiled Eve and, you know, fed her a line of bull, to put it bluntly. And when the woman saw that in verse 6 that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That's an interesting thing. I'm sure that someone somewhere along the line has seen the connection between verse 6 in the third chapter of Genesis and 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, but I've never read it anywhere other than in the scriptures. And in 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, you know, when she looked at the tree, it was good for food. The lust of the eyes, she looked at the tree, it was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, she looked at the tree, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, is not of the Father. Okay, so the concepts that man has, that, well, let's put it this way. Every religious system in the world, because of the deception of Eve and the willful sin of Adam, is based upon what man can do for God, except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity, and a large part of Judaism, a large part of what professing Christianity, they don't see it either. But there is a connection. Now, we never find this term in the Bible, but the principle is there, and it's the principle of federal headship. And federal headship is that one stands for all. So we know that we have a government, we have a constitution, and so forth. And, you know, when the government makes a decision, you know, and puts something in law, then what? We're obligated as citizens to, you know, to fall in line. Okay, so Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. And Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. See? So the woman was in the transgression. She was deceived. And people, you know, today when you... you know, the churches now have all fallen to feminism. Virtually all of them have female pastors now. Well, if we go over to the qualifications of a pastor, and in that second chapter of 1 Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. So feminism notwithstanding, God said, you know, He set the rules. And so it's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of speaking ability. It's not a matter of charisma or any of that kind of thing. And some women are very well informed in the Word of God, but they're not to be over the man in spiritual matters. So, you know, you can go with the way the world thinks and be at odds with God, or you can just recognize the truth of the Word of God. And that, you know, and it's not a slam against women at all, but Eve was deceived. Yeah. And so then as we go on, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, so she gave to her husband, and he did eat with her. Now, when we go back over, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, let the woman, in verse 11, learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then what? Then Eve. So Eve came from Adam's side. And Adam, you know, there used to be a song, it was back in the 40s, and it was a dumb song in the first place. But anyway, they're trying to act like Adam was deceived. No, Adam was not deceived. Adam ate willingly of the tree, and we read about that in Romans 5 and verses 12 and 12 through about 15 or something like that. But Adam was not deceived. And then when we were reading that last week, then we learn about the sin. Sin in the singular with the definite article. And sin in the singular with the definite article is based upon Adam's sin. So when he sinned, we sinned in the judicial reckoning of God. Now, if that can be true, I'll take you over to 1 Corinthians in just a moment. If that can be true, then Christ can stand in our stead. And he did in life, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and offered himself as a ransom for sin. So one is dependent upon the other. And people can get into all of this, feminism and, we can't say anything about homosexual or any of that type of thing. Well, if I'm going to preach the Word of God and the whole counsel of God, God condemns it as sin, homosexuality. But he also condemns adultery, fornication, and a whole bunch of other things as sin. So there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth. Now, we're not pointing anybody out as a worse sinner than another sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. So just exactly what that means, I always took it to mean that when my children were being born, and we know that women die in childbirth, but as a believer, I could just trust that it came out okay. Yeah, is that what it means? I don't know. But there's another theory. By the birth of the Christ, she shall be saved. And that's probably the more accurate, understanding. So, Mary had to, the Spirit of God came upon her, and he told her that that's what shall be conceived in you, shall be of the Holy Spirit, And so it's through the woman that the Christ came into the world. And why is that so? We get back to federal headship again. We have to be related, or a redeemer. If you go to the book of Ruth, what was required of Boaz in order to redeem Ruth? Yeah, he had to be a near kinsman. So that kinsman relationship. Now, if Christ were related to us by natural generation, then he'd have a sin nature like we do. So that's required the virgin birth. And so that's really what I think this is about. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. In other words, a woman that's going to bring the Christ into the world. Okay? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So, in this 15th chapter, we could go back in the earlier part of it. Let me read a couple of verses early on. It says, thought I was in Corinthians. I flipped all the way over to Romans. Okay, here we go. And I'm looking on this side of the page. You know, after a while, when you use the same kind of Bible for years and years, you know what side of the page to look on for the reference. And so it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, early on in the church, it's interesting, people were denying the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so Paul tells us here, now if Christ be preached in verse 12, that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Or they were saying there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Yeah, I put that the way we would read it in English rather than the way it's translated there. Okay, so, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. We're saying that we have salvation based upon the fact that God became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and then offered himself as a ransom for sin. But if there's no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ still in the grave? You know, and if Christ is in the grave, then it would be the hopelessness of the world that, you know, we're just going to be buried and that's it, see? And of course, that's contrary to the truth of the Word of God. Our hope is in Christ. He rose from the dead. And because he lives, what? We shall live also. Okay. So Paul goes on to say, yea, and we are found false witnesses in verse 15 of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be that there's no such thing as a resurrection. Kind of freely translating there. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. You know, in Greek, the verb can follow. Anyway, in English, we have to have the subject first, then the verb, then the object of the verb. And, you know, last week, trying to read to you from the Greek New Testament, sometimes, you know, you'll have a word that modifies a word, and it'll be three or four words from it, you know. And it gets to be kind of complicated at times, but it really is not all that bad. Okay. So, if in this life, think about this now, yeah, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, most miserable. Now, just, this is March, 4 months ago, 6th of December, you know, my wife of 68 years minus 22 days died. She went home to be with the Lord. And I know she's with the Lord because I know the Word of God and I know that God can't lie. And so I haven't been able to mourn because every time I think about it, I think of all of the problems that Joanne had for the last several years of her life. She had plantar fasciitis. She had nerve pain. She had, you know, she broke her back. I mean, there was just an awful lot of things that came upon her. And most of her life, Joanne was very healthy, except for when she was playing hide-and-seek in Georgia when she was about 12. And there was a blow-down tree leaning out over the hillside, and they were hiding up in the tree playing hide and seek, you know. And she was coming down, and she fell and broke her shoulder. And but other than that, you know, she had a she gave childbirth easily. I mean, there were so many things. She was just very, very healthy until right towards the end. And then probably the last 7 years of her life were, you know, pretty tough. And I used to try to comfort her, and I don't think it was any comfort at all, because I had so many things happen to me during my life, you know. And I said, you're not used to having anything wrong, so it's harder for you to cope with it than it is with me, you know, because, you know, I'm not going to go through all that long list of stuff. But it's sometimes it just seems almost ridiculous, you know, and it really amazes me. Here I am, 87 years of age, and still preaching, you know. And why? Because it's God's will, you know. When we die, it's not our choice, it's God's choice. It's an appointment, and Apollos, I believe, is the author of the book of Hebrews, and he says, it's appointed on the man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, we're not going to be judged for sins. We're going to be judged for what we do within the body of Christ. We're in the local assembly, you know, and be rewarded for that. But, you know, if we don't have any rewards, we're going to suffer a loss, but we're still going to be saved. You know, we can't be lost. And I kind of look at it this way. I've got a tenure, but I love classical music, you know. And Joy and I used to go to the Holt Center and, concerts and so forth. That they have very, you know, you can't get a crowd for Rachmaninoff or, Tchaikovsky or somebody in Eugene. If you want a crowd, get the Grateful Dead. Go to Hudson Stadium, you know. But, we did that when we were younger, and I always enjoyed classical music. Well, I've got a tenure, you know. Yeah, this didn't stop me from enjoying it. But I imagine someone, and you think of some of the great violinists, you know. Isaac Stern comes to my mind because he was probably one of the greatest violinists in the world during my lifetime, when I was younger. Now we would name somebody else, you know. But to play the violin, you have to have perfect pitch, you know, because there are no frets. There's no special place to put your fingers. You have to be able to hear what you're playing, and that's what determines where your fingers go, you know. And so it's not like a guitar. With a guitar, you can learn the chords and so forth and strum it and do that whether you've got a tenor or not, you know. Okay. So, anyway, I kind of imagine heaven being we're all going to enjoy it, but the more that we know, it's kind of like the violinist with perfect pitch. And the music, their enjoyment of that must be far greater than my enjoyment. But my enjoyment is, yeah, I love it. You know. Okay. So let's come back to this now. It says, but now Christ is, put the verb after Christ instead of before it. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become what? The first fruits of them that slept. Now, when we were studying in the book of Luke and some of the other books that we've studied, and studying the final life or final week in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see how Christ fulfilled everything completely and perfectly with respect to the Passover. Yeah. And tradition, as I pointed out in our studies, tradition has a way of making Christ to be a sinner, because traditionally Christ was crucified on Friday, but actually he was crucified on Wednesday, you know, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, which is sunset on Wednesday, our time, because the Jews count their day from sunset, you know, to sunset, you know. And, you know, and if you've seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof and the music Sunrise, Sunset, you know, and you can remember Kevye's wife getting all nervous, the sun's about to get down, come on, hurry, 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 you know, and that type of thing. Okay, let's go on with this federal headship. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now there's the principle. When Adam sinned, we sinned. When Christ died for our sins, you know, the atonement that he made is counted to our account. We don't gain heaven by the lives that we live. We gain heaven by faith. Because without faith, what does the scripture say? It's impossible to please him. Now let's go over to the latter part of the 15th chapter, and then we'll get back to into Genesis. And it says, okay, let's see. In verse 35, some men will say with respect to the resurrection. Now remember, they were denying the resurrection at Corinth. So some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? So Paul is rebuking them for their unbelief with respect to resurrection. And he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. Now what are we talking about? You plant a grain of wheat. You don't get that exact same grain back, you know, but you get a whole bunch that looks like it. You know. And so he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. You put a bare grain in the ground, and then you get back something that looks like it, but it's not exactly the same one. Because this body's cursed. And in the resurrection, we're going to be made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life will be sustained by him. Right now, our life is sustained, you know, by blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I was over today because of, they've been feeding me rat poison to thin my blood down so they can do a cardio, I've forgotten the name of it now, the procedure, you know, where they put the paddles and shock your heart and try to get it back in rhythm. Maybe the name of it, it's not important, will come to me. But, you know, your blood, most cardiologists won't do that procedure unless it's an emergency. They won't do that procedure without thinning your blood first. And warfarin is a blood thinner. Warfarin is rat poison, and the way it kills the rats is they bleed to death, hemorrhage internally. It's in the blood down so that it has no capability of clotting. So that's why they have to keep testing my blood to make sure it's not too thin or too thick. Crazy. Okay. So all flesh, in verse 39, is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts. So this verse says that, who's the guy that evolution, Darwin, you know, we can't have evolved from the animals because of this verse. You know, it's those, all those pictures they showed you of, you know, a monkey, and then he's a gorilla, and then he's a man, and then he turns into a gorilla when he goes out bar hopping. There's a joke there somewhere. Okay. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So that verse completely refutes evolution. There's also celestial bodies, or heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So what we have here on the earth, I don't mind having a space force or anything like that, because we have rockets and different things that can be fired into space, and we can put satellites in space and weaponize them. And that doesn't bother me. But all of this trying to find life in space, I guarantee you there's life in space. Because everyone who's lived and died in Christ is with the Lord in heaven. And the Lord's in heaven, and the angels are in heaven, and they all have what? They all have life. So the billions of dollars that they spent on exploration looking for life in space, buy a Bible. You get it for a whole lot cheaper than all those billions of dollars that they've spent. Yeah. So he says, there's one certain glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. The sun's on fire. The moon just reflects light. And that's why the moon is used to represent the church or Israel, reflecting the light from the sun, which represents the Lord. And for one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. Because of our sin nature, this body, from the moment it's born, begins to die. And sometimes it happens earlier than other times. It drives me crazy when they want to legalize aborting a perfectly healthy baby. But man's been doing that for centuries. The temple in Jerusalem, some of the rooms in that within that edifice were plastered, and within the plaster were the fetuses of babies that were aborted. The Jews were worshiping the false gods of the land, and in the worship of all of those false gods, it was done very often by sexual intercourse of both sorts, male and female, men with men, women with women, men with women, and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's the way they worshipped. And then when the women got pregnant, they just aborted the baby. And they actually plastered them into some of those structures. Okay. So it's not new, folks. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So speaking of the body, in verse 44, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Now, it's going to be a real physical body, just like our Lord's real physical body, but the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the resurrected life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. So Adam plunged us into sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ removes us from that condition. We don't lose our sin nature all the time we're alive. But when we're buried, the body goes into the grave. It can be eaten. It can decay. You can do anything you want with it until the day of the resurrection. And then the Lord's going to call all of those elements together wherever they are and resurrect that body. But in the meantime, according to the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, when Paul was stoned at Lystra, he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So it happened so quickly and so smoothly that he didn't know whether he was in or out of his body. And that and he saw things, or what? Not lawful to be uttered. So that's why when I think about Joanne and what she suffered in the latter days of her life, and now, you know, she's gone from me, but I'm going to see her again, you know. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with mourning the death of a loved one. But for me, with what I know from the Word of God and what I saw her go through, you know, I can't be selfish enough to say, oh, I want her here with me. You know, no, it's far better for her to be home with the Lord and all the saints. And the Scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is what? The death of his saints, because we're going home, you know. And so then he says, howbeit, verse 46, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, Adam. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So at a point in time, Christ came into the world by the virgin birth. See? And he had to be related to us so that he could redeem us. See? So as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. The first man is out of the earth, a more literal translation, is out of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord out of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we born the image of the earthy, you know, and we have relatives, we have mothers, fathers, different ones, and nobody in this world, you know, kids used to get in fight. You said my mother did this, or you don't know what your mother did. You know, we all like to think of them as being pure and chaste and all of this and that. And we like to think of our sons, our daughters in the same light, and husbands, wives, all of that. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, and the only reason that we have an inheritance in heaven is because of this principle of federal headship. So it starts in Genesis, and then we see the completion of it over here in the New Testament. So he says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, this body with blood in it, cannot inherit. It doesn't say it can't go to heaven, like we've got two prophets up there that have to come back. You know, and you know, Paul was, you know, I think he was in a transformed body when he was, you know, carried into heaven, because his body was in the dump in Lystra. You know, but he says, but to inherit or to spend eternity there. Not with flesh and blood. See, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Some of us might be living when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. Otherwise, we're going to, you know, the body is spoken of as sleeping in death. It goes into the grave. But the soul, you know, it's translated into the presence of God. Remember what Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, I go to prepare a place for you. And then the translators, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, many dwelling places. What is this body for your soul and spirit? It's a dwelling place, okay? And so, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. So, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If that's literal, that's about 40 milliseconds, you know, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. How? Incorruptible. Where do we get our sin nature? From the blood that Adam gave us, which our father gave us. You know. And it's a medical fact that all the blood that flows in our bodies is there because of our father, not because of our mother, and the two bloodstreams can't mix. If they somehow or other get mixed, then you normally have a miscarriage. Yeah. Okay. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up, where? In victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and that's the sin. What caused us to have to die? Adam and Eve, eating of the tree, you know, Adam really, Eve sinned, and then Adam gave himself for her. So Eve's a type of the church, and Adam's a type of Christ. And so the sting of death is sin preceded by the definite article, particular sin, Adam's sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. So what does it say over in Romans, the wages of the sin is death. We got our sin nature because Adam made of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when we look at the numbers sometimes, it would be easy to get discouraged. But it's the Lord that saves. I can't save anybody. I have had lots of people saved under my ministry, but I haven't the power to save anyone. Yeah. And when I went to Bible college, they were always pumping into us, you know, you got to be a soul winner. You got to be, I've never refused to testify of my faith when I've had the opportunity. But I've never, to my knowledge, while actually dealing with an individual, I've never had them actually trust the Lord while I was talking to them. Yeah. But I had people listen to me preach, and, and then the Spirit of God quickens the truth of the Word of God to their heart. That's God's business. Our business is to put the truth out there. Now, back in the third chapter of Genesis, so their eyes were open, and that they knew that they were naked. And what was the first moral act? People don't like to think this way. They think morality is a good thing, and it's better to be good than to be bad. Let's say that. But if you're trusting in the life that you live to give you eternal life, it's never going to happen because, without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. Okay. So then he goes on and says, their first moral act, then they realized they were naked. They'd been naked from the day they had been created, no problem, until they got the sin nature. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, in verse 8, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. People that are unsaved, they both were at that point in time, don't want to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, before the fall, they enjoyed the fellowship every day. But now the Lord comes and they want to hide themselves. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but I can't preach the Word of God without pointing a finger at somebody. We don't do it consciously. There have been times when I preach, and then all of a sudden turn and be wailing away on the Catholics and look over and see Gretchen's mother, and devout Catholic, actually I was doing her a favor because the Spirit of God is leading me to show the faults of the Roman Church so that, but I'd completely forgotten that she was here. Now, people say that I was preaching at her, and I wasn't. But the Spirit of God was giving her the opportunity to change her mind, And that's how it happens, folks. Okay, so, and so God asked Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? And then the Lord said unto this serpent in verse 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. From that we know that the serpent that was in the garden was not a writhing reptile. That's a result of the curse. And I will put enmity between thee, that is, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Who's the seed of the woman? It's Jesus Christ. And there's enmity between the devil and what he produces and what the world thinks is the way to heaven. There's enmity there between that and the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the woman then was going to bring the Christ into the world. That's why she's going to be saved in childbirth. Yeah. And then in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. There, that really means she was the giver of life. And in the natural realm, we all have to be born of a woman. Yeah. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make, in verse 21, coats of skins and clothed them. And remember, God promised the seed of the woman, and that's Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ clothes us in his perfect righteousness. But in order to provide us with his perfect righteousness, he had to die for our sin. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission. So when God sacrificed that lamb or whatever it was, we're not told what the animal was, to provide them with a covering, you know, that was exactly what Jesus Christ did. He was sacrificed for us to provide us with his perfect righteousness so that we can be in the presence of God forever, you know. And so the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And, of course, in Proverbs it says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. And so all of the religions of the world are based on man's knowledge of good and evil or his morality. But no one can make it to heaven based upon their attempts at morality. All it does is say, you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you're trying to make yourself God by your knowledge of good and evil. And that's not possible. Okay. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, it says cherubims with an S, in Hebrew, cherubim, cherub is one, cherubim is plural, okay? The I am makes it plural in Hebrew. And so there are many cherubs with flaming swords to prevent anyone from entering the Garden of Eden again. Now we go through 2,500 years of history before we get to the book of Exodus and the giving of the law. And what happened to all those people during that point of time? You know, well, in the days of the flood, it says their hearts were only evil continually. No, their hearts were on the evil continually. And the angels that fell came down and cohabited with the daughters of men to try to break the link that we talked about, that federal link between Adam and Christ. And why would the devil do that? He wants us all to go to hell. Yeah. And people who think they're good by the lives that they live are going to hell, and they don't realize it. You know, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and failed attempts at the law does not make you anything but a lawbreaker, not a law keeper. But Christ stood in our stead. So Adam plunged us into sin. Christ is our federal head, as we saw in Corinthians, made a sacrifice for sin, conquered death by his resurrection from the dead, and because he lives, what? We shall live also. We'll get to Cain and Abel next week in the fourth chapter. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, how that the whole foundation for salvation is laid for us in this book of Genesis. We saw it in shadows and types in the recreation of the earth, which was plunged into darkness because of the devil was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. God judges the earth because of that. And because of that, then we see a parable in the recreation of the earth of the ministry from being in darkness to being in the presence of the Lord forever. We praise you and thank you for these marvelous truths. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.